Everybody, I'm Cam Stew with your fantasy sports news update. We have an elimination game in the NHL Wednesday, and we have another one in the NBA tonight. It's also the last ever game at Oracle Arena in Oaktown. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight is Golden State hosts Toronto. Tip-off just after 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific. Whoa, yeah, music. Current betting line, Warriors minus 2.5, minus 145 on the money line. Raptors plus 125. 211.5, actually up to 212.5 now, is your updated total. First quarter line, Warriors minus 1, minus 140 on the money line. Raptors plus 120, total 53. First half line, Warriors minus 1.5, minus 145 on the money line. Raptors plus 125. Updated series price, it's down. Toronto was 360 earlier this week, now minus 320. Golden State plus 260. You want to talk about sickening prices? Courtside seats for tonight's final game at Oracle sold for a record $69,000 each, a new NBA per seat record. An anonymous buyer dished out $138,000 on a pair of courtside seats for tonight's game. Wow, 138 grand. Kemba Walker likes it in Charlotte a lot. Despite the team struggling to contend, Walker says he wants to make a return to the Hornets his top priority this offseason. Perhaps more surprising is the Walker revelation that he could be persuaded to leave some money on the table. He says he would take less than the Supermax contract. Walker averaged a career-best 25.6 points, 5.9 assists, and 4.4 boards per game in 2018-19. But the Hornets posted a third consecutive losing season at 39-43, missing out on the playoffs by two games. Memphis Grizzlies center Jonas Valanciunas will not be exercising his $17.6 million option for next season, but he does intend to negotiate a new deal with the Grizz. After coming over from the Raptors, JV was solid, averaging 27.7 minutes, just under 20 points a game, 10.7 boards, and 1.9 blocks in 19 appearances. The Stanley Cup will make its way through the streets of St. Louis for the first time ever Saturday afternoon. Also, a rally is going to take place at the Gateway Arch after the parade. Golf's third major underway from Pebble Beach. Round one of the U.S. Open, Ricky Fowler, the current leader at 5-under par. Scott Piercy and Louis Oosthuizen in one shot back. Notables, Rory McIlroy playing well, 3-under. DJ right now is even. Patrick Cantlay teeing off at 425. Brooks Koepka, Mr. Major, tees off at 447. And Tiger Woods, he goes off at 509. In the NFL, officials will continue to initiate pass interference calls inside of 2 minutes, but all Hail Mary calls will now be reviewable. The league decided to change its replay system after the controversial no-call in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. The Indianapolis Colts have made Kenny Moore the highest-paid slot corner in the league, Moore agreeing to a four-year extension, $30 million in new money from 2021 to 2023, with a maximum value of north of $36 million. Moore, undrafted as well, started 15 games last season. He racked up 11 pass defenses, 3 picks, and 1.5 sacks and 77 tackles for the Colts in 2018. The Chiefs have signed kicker Harrison Butker to a 5-year, $20 million extension. The Patriots acquired tight end Michael Roberts from Detroit for an undisclosed draft pick. He had 13 catches for 146 yards and 3 touchdowns in his first 2 seasons in the Motor City. The CFL, they open up their season tonight in Hamilton in the Hammer. The Ticats hosting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Current line, Hamilton minus 3.5. Total in this football game, 48.5. First half, Hamilton minus 2. They're minus 140 on the money line. Riders plus 120. Total in the first half, 24 flat. Let's hit the MLB scoreboard. Atlanta beating Pittsburgh 6-5. Braves on fire. Turan the win. Musgrove the loss. Jackson with save number 10 for the Braves. Minnesota up on Seattle 7-1. We're in the seventh inning in that one. Very, very busy slate tonight in baseball. We will go through all the games here. Give you a couple lines right now. Two games at 7:05. Arizona laying 125 at Washington. 8.5. Greinke versus Feedy. Toronto laying 40 cents at Baltimore. Stroman versus Yanoa. Total 9. 3 more at 7:10 Eastern. We got the Angels and Rays. Rays minus 150. Boss Skaggs and Yarbrough 9. St. Louis and the Mets. We got the Mets minus 150. Total 7. Flaherty and DeGrom. Texas at Boston. Red Sox minus 230. 8.5. Sampson versus Price at 8:05. We got Detroit minus 130 at KC. Boyd versus Bailey. Doe, 8.5 is your total. 8:10. Yankees minus 190 at the White Sox. Hap versus Nova, 9.5. 8:40 action, San Diego at Colorado. Rockies minus 150, 11.5. Pitching change, Strom is going for the Padres, Gray for the Rockies. And at 10:10, Cubs and Dodgers. Dodgers minus 180. 8 is your total. Lester and Kershaw. Women's World Cup of Soccer. Australia taking out Brazil 3-2 today. That game over the number. South Africa and China. China up 1-0 at the half. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. Stick around. It's an action-packed Thursday night. We'll go through the whole betting boards, sports talk, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned, everybody. Red Heat and Rage Hour 1 coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Radio Radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, tune in. I believe on YouTube, although I don't see a YouTube video up right now, but we'll get to that. I am Gabriel Morency, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, throwing it down. What's up, Cam?
Hey, but not much, Gabe. Just watching the golf right now. Things are good. Could like to congratulate the St. Louis Blues, buddy. We got it done last night. Let's make it 6-6. Let's get it done tonight. The 6-6 in Golden State. Let's make Oracle's last game a losing one.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Congratulations for hanging on, Cam. Congratulations for hanging on to the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues, get it done, man. Unbelievable that these guys, the road warriors that they were, 10-3 on the road in the playoffs.
It's amazing to me. We talked about Tuukka Rask, and it's amazing when things happen in one game, Gabe. Jordan Binnington played the best game I can remember a rookie goaltender playing since Patrick Waugh. What he did last night in the first period of that game was absolutely insane. The diving for pucks, the vision, everything. You tell you, Boston didn't really play that bad. They just got frustrated. He was an absolute wall there. And that second goal off the end rush where Marchand didn't get off, when they were up 2-0, I'm like, here we go. 1-0, I was like, you know, it's nice. It's nice we got the first goal. And I bet them to get the first goal. But that 2-0 goal, 8 seconds before the period, my old hockey coach used to say it, Gabe, goals first minute in of the period and last minute, absolute killers. They rock a team hard.
No, they really do. It's especially in the final seconds. I hate that, man, when my team gives up a goal late.
As a goalie, that must really piss you off. Like, you know what I mean? You let one with like 2 seconds, you're like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, that's got to stay up in your crop.
It's the same in any sport, really, though, to be honest, Kev, if you think about it. Like a late touchdown is a killer. Like, you know, teams, yep, they get that touchdown before the end of the half, and then boom. And then they score again coming out. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles did against the Vikings in that NFC Conference Championship.
Yep.
Game was 7-3. Next thing you knew, it was 14-3. And then next thing you knew, it was 21-3.
Boom.
Just like that with, you know, a late touchdown. Remember they scored on a bomb, like one of the last plays in a half? Instead of running, you know, taking a knee, most teams would have taken a knee. They're on, like, their own 15-yard line. They freaking threw a bomb, man, to Torrey Smith, and it worked. And they got a touchdown, and then they scored again on like a prolonged drive to start the third quarter, and it was game over. And similar situation. That game goes into the break, 1-0, Cam. Whatever. Boston's still in it. They're feeling good about themselves. They dominate the period. You know, they'll get back in it. That late goal was a backbreaker, and then, you know, subsequently that third goal, well, that third goal was the nail in the coffin.
Sure was, buddy. Sure was. I'm hoping that another league ends tonight, though, Morency. These playoffs go on too long. I don't want to see a game seven. I know it's exciting for people. Take care of business now.
Well, is there a game tonight?
Yeah, is there a game tonight?
Dale Capper will step up and in.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Red Heat, NHL Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Morency. We apologize for those of you that normally watch on YouTube. Maybe we'll get the video up. I know there's been some streaming issues.
We're back.
Well, I see you and I see me, but it doesn't mean that we're on, King.
Oh, okay. When I see you, I assume we're on, right? Before it was just black.
No, we're not. We're not on, Yang.
Oh,
like, we are on, but the public doesn't see us, Yang. There's no video. I'm on the website right now. But it doesn't matter. Whatever. We're on the radio. We got a show to do, so whatever. It's not my concern, really, but just keep us up to date. There's a difference between us seeing each other and actually being on, though.
Okay, now I know. Because when I see you, I assume we're on the video. You'd have
all right, now we're on.
You said we're on.
Yeah, but Yang just, we're on. We're on. we weren't on. Whatever. You know, it is what it is. All right, let's bring in Whale Capper right now. He doesn't have a lot of time with us here. What's up, Whale Capper?
Hey, Gabe, Cam, you guys fired up? We've been waiting forever for this. Game 6, let's go.
Fired up, Whale Capper. We wish we ended it in Game 5, but hey, life is life. Hopefully tonight.
I was more fired up when I was there on Monday, I'll be honest with you, Whale Capper. I'm more apprehensive about tonight.
Well, I like your chances. I like the Raps in this game. My looks going in are actually on the Warriors in the first quarter and the first half. I think we've seen enough and we've established a pretty obvious signal here that the Warriors, they run out of gas. They're lean. They don't have the horses to carry offense for a full four quarters. They're a first half team. Their best chance of winning this game is to get out to an insurmountable lead and hold on for dear life. I don't know that that happens, but I do think that Warriors first quarter and Warriors first half make for good plays. But I'm licking my chops for an opportunity to come back on the Raptors. If people are looking at this game at halftime and like, wow, the Warriors are doing it. They're taking this to 7. You know, we could see a completely deflated line on the Raptors come back. But I think they've got it in them. I think they can come back in this one. The depth that they've shown throughout this series, the contributions they've gotten from some of the players who were untested at this level before have been damn impressive. Kawhi's kind of fourth quarter instincts to kick in that game 5 and just go on a personal 10-0 run were unbelievable. The fact that they were up 6 and they couldn't slam the door, I'm sure was frustrating. I do like them to seal the deal tonight.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that Coach Nick Nurse decided to shut down Kawhi Leonard's run and call that timeout.
Yeah.
Bizarre. You mentioned it. The Raptors have stepped up. The Raptors have been very resilient to bounce back after losses as well. They have been the better basketball team. And nothing makes sense anymore. I mean, look, home court has meant nothing. The road teams have won 4 consecutive games in this series. The Stanley Cup last night, Whale Capper won by the St. Louis Blues, who were 10-3 on the road in the playoffs and 6-7 at home somehow. I don't know how any of this makes sense. Can the Raptors, saying it out loud that the Raptors are going to, beat the Golden State Warriors 3 times in a row in Oakland in the final games of Oracle, in the final game of Oracle history, I'd say you're crazy, but I don't know, man. It seems like these teams, the pressure of playing at home is a lot, and we often see this, Cam. You've seen this in other sports as well, where, I don't think the Red Sox have won at home, right, when they won the World Series type deal. Like, it just sort of works out where teams, you want to win at home, and the players start, in the back of their mind, don't tell me they're not thinking about a celebration and, oh, God, imagine what the club's going to be like tonight in an hour. It crosses their mind as opposed to when you're on the road, it's all freaking business. You're not worried about, my girlfriend's here, and, my family's here, and, this is unbelievable, we're about to win. Seems like you're more focused, and we've seen this time and time again. Seems like a lot of championships are won on the road.
You said it, buddy. It's been crazy in the NHL. It's crazy, Whale Capper. It's just nuts. Like, that's what Gabe? I actually think because of that trend, I like the Raptors even more because that's the first reaction. How the hell do the Warriors at Oracle in their final game end a dynasty with a loss? People are going to be betting them just for the fact that they can't lose, right? And the crazy things have happened. I also do have some good news, guys. If you're betting the Raptors, Mark Davis, the crew chief tonight, 9-0 in Raptor games officiated by him this season. Warriors 3-5. Yikes. I don't know the other. Yeah. So that's to the Raptors. 9-0.
Yeah, they're 3-5. The Golden State Warriors. The Raptors are 9-0 with Mark Davis officiated games this year. You know, the one thing that's weird, Whale Capper, is the fact that the game is in Oakland, yet all the money continues to come in on the Raptors. And I haven't really spoken to anybody that said, yeah, I think that the Warriors are going to win this game tonight. It seems like everybody's sort of convinced that the Raptors will end this, that Golden State somehow are out of gas. You know, I don't really look at it like that. I mean, it's, you know, Curry's going to be Steph Curry. Clay's going to be fired up tonight. It's the final game ever at Oracle. If anything, I would actually argue the Warriors aren't getting enough respect coming into tonight.
Interesting. So, a couple points. I agree with your kind of overall kind of assessment of it's really strange how little home court has mattered this year in the playoffs, and not just in the NBA but also the NHL. It's strange. And your supposition that it's kind of all about business is, I don't think, is misguided. I think there is a little bit, these guys are acting more and more like professionals. You know, this is the Raptors, especially the way they handled business in game four was unreal coming off that court. And you know, if you, but you got a feeling from the crowd, I felt like in at Oracle in game four and in game three, that they weren't really in it. They weren't in it to begin with. They were fired up in the first half, and if you kind of break down the data, if you dig through the numbers, you see that in the playoffs, when you have two relatively evenly matched teams, take out like examples like Warriors versus Cavs from last year, take out examples where it was just a complete and utter mismatch. When you have evenly matched teams, home court tends to be much more apparent in the first half of games than the second half of games. A lot of that could be just kind of, the crowd gets tight. The crowd in Toronto felt like they got tight when the 6-point lead turned into a 3-point lead and the 3-point lead turned into a tie game. Like, that crowd felt tight to me. If you're looking for the crowd to give you that boost of energy to get you across the finish line, and they're tightening up on you, that can have impacts. There's no doubt about that. As far as if you feel like there's value on the Warriors at the current number, and I'm not sure there is, I think it's a pretty fair number. I do think that in the first quarter, in the first half, where you get a little bit more energy from the crowd and a little bit more of a signal from home court advantage, that you do see an edge there. But all this goes without saying, that Oracle's not the same place it was back in the heyday of, Run TMC and, the true diehard, Warriors fans. Like, this is what happens when you're 5 years into a dynasty. The tickets are a couple grand a pop for these games. Like, these are going to be the most expensive tickets they sell for the entire, not only is this the last game ever in Oracle, these are going to be the most expensive tickets that have ever been sold for a game at Oracle, because this is the last game. And I think all of that tends to kind of change the complexion of the crowd, the motivations of the crowd. A lot of these people are people there with money who are there to be seen, as opposed to people who have lived and died and, breathe Warriors day in, day out. I mean, that's not to say that there won't be some of those people there, but the proportion will be smaller. And so it's all worth kind of noting that, it doesn't change the fact that the Warriors are leaking oil. The Steph has carried an enormous proportion of the offensive load for a ton of games. The Raptors have consistently outplayed him in this series, and they're the better, deeper, stronger, more healthy team. And all that does point to the Raptors getting it done tonight.
All right, hang in here with Whale Capper. We'll take a quick break. We got a couple of more minutes with Whale Capper on the other side. Game time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions continues. Ready to face our radio fantasy sports, our radio network. I am Gable Moretti, throwing that cap, throwing Mill Cap. You can find him on Twitter, Whale_Capper. We've got him for a couple of more minutes. And I agree with you, Whale Capper, what you said about the crowd and the dynamic. This is, it's hardly the black hole in Oakland Raider fans that are at these games. It's hedge fund billionaires that shove basketball players that would cross the to the other side of the street if they're walking down the street in the real world. Toronto has done a good job at that. And I've complained about this as a diehard Raptor fan with the pop. Like you said, man, it's the classic, man, this band sucks now because they're popular. You know what I mean? And the classic, look, I saw Metallica open up for Wasp. All right. It was like amazing. It was like 1,600 people at the show. Metallica opened up for Wasp. Fast forward to, I liked it a lot better when I was one of the, when it was just the hardcores and all that type of stuff. But the Raptors have done a good job at that. You know what's amazing, though? The cheapest ticket to get in tonight is only $589. And the cheapest ticket to get into the Raptors game is $2,089 if it goes to game 7. And you're right, because I've seen these stories about how tickets sold for like $160,000 for two tickets tonight and $48,000 to sit next to the Warriors bench right near where Curry takes that shot in the tunnel before the game starts and all that type of stuff. But I think that market, guys, if you're that rich and it's all Silicon Valley money and tech money, those guys wouldn't be caught dead. They're not hardcore fans enough that they're going to sit in the last row of a dumpy arena like the Oracle. And then conversely,
true,
hardcore guy on the street still can't afford the $600. So it's a weird dynamic where $589 is actually pretty cheap for this game tonight for the cheapest tickets. But, and as you stated, it's not an intimidating crowd, and the Raptors clearly have not been intimidated by this. You know, I think it's basically, the Raptors do have them on the ropes. They should have knocked them out the other night. It was like a champion boxer, Whale Capper, that, found a way to survive another round. But they're still on the ropes right now. Not to mention Draymond Green's one technical foul away from being suspended. So if he got a tech tonight, he wouldn't even play in a game 7.
Oof.
I think if they just sort of let Kawhi do his thing and get out of the way, and people step up, just do their job. If they just play their game, the Raptors are the better team, and they should be able to win tonight.
Yeah, keep them within arm's reach through the first half. Just give Kawhi the chance to take over the game late, and let all the rest of the chips fall.
I'm hoping that we sort of start on a 17-0 run.
17-0 run.
I don't want any stress.
That's a good one.
Based on what we've seen this series, I don't think you want an early lead. Really and truly. I mean, early lead has led to complacency. It's led to the lack of taking chances and making adjustments at halftime that have been necessary. I honestly, other than game 1, where the Raptors basically dominated from wire to wire, we have not seen a game like that. Like, they have all been a little bit of a tale of two halves to a degree. And I honestly, Nick Nurse has gotten deserved criticism for his timeout usage in the killing the momentum there in game 5. But other than that moment, he has coached his ass off in this playoff series.
He's
made amazing adjustments at every halftime opportunity. And I would expect more of that tonight. And, make Curry do some extra running in the first half, make Clay do some extra running in the first half, test his hammy out a little bit, get gas Boogie Cousins in the first half. You can make the Warriors work hard over. Get him in foul. Exactly. Take him out of the game. Get him, his mind out of the game. Like, you can do things in the first half that sets you up to come back hard in the second half of this game and put this series away if you're the Raptors. And it's my hope and my expectation that that's how this goes down.
What do you guys think about the total in this one? 212. It's kind of been bouncing around. I saw 211.
Under.
I was thinking the under, too. I was thinking the under. Like, 212. I think a lot of people bet the over. Yeah. I think this game, I think we're going to see some defense tonight, Morency. I think 212, we'll go under tonight. Keep digging.
Yeah. I'll say this about the total real quick, and then I got to bounce. The Nick Nurse has shown a really smart knack for pushing the pace and really, you know, driving the pace in an effort to try to get Curry exhausted. And in those instances, you'll see some flurry of scoring that will really test your resolve if you're holding an under ticket. So if you're like us and you're feeling an under, you may be better off waiting to halftime. You may be better off waiting till fourth quarter even, because, you know, the longer this goes into the game, the more tired these guys are going to be, and the harder it will be for them to hit the shots. And you could see, you could see the game, turn into like a crawl pace, which again favors the Raptors. So, I think it's going to be a fun game tonight. And, hopefully we're celebrating and we're talking next week that the Raptors win their first ever title.
Whale Capper. Find him on Twitter, whale_Capper, Audio Boom for his podcast. Thanks for the time, Capper.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
Thanks. Whale Capper with us.
Is he going to measure the plates, Gabe?
I didn't ask.
It's got to be California this time of the year. I got to believe that there's some movements.
Man.
Yeah, he's always, with a job like that, too. It's not like he's working down at the pizzeria. Like that's life changing stuff.
He's got his own shows too, right? He's got his own podcast, and he's got a bunch of stuff.
Excellent.
I don't know. He was all ready to go right at 4:30 till you asked him that final question.
Just thought we should talk about the total, but we got him out pretty quick.
I like how he gave me
gotta run. Hey, Will Capper, what are you doing today? Yeah, I'll ask you another one.
I was just about to get him out. Camp today.
Hey, we're all friends here. He was cool. He's cool. He was in a rush, though. You could tell. Yeah, he had to
roll. All right. And you know it, too, because normally he's a very long talker. Let's be honest.
I know.
That's a point question. Take 10 minutes. Like,
excellent point. No, it's very true. Yeah, usually he can really go on for a while, and the answers are a little bit quicker today. But I agree with a lot of his assessments of the game, too, Gabe. Very, very important to get their bigs in trouble early. Try to come up with a system, the run and gun, try to get these guys winded and then take advantage of your bigs inside. And you said Kawhi Leonard, he does his thing. All these guys, you got to hit your open threes. Green's got to be there. Van Fleet, Norm, if he goes out there, those guys, when they're open, they got to nail their shots. If they do, I think we're going to win outright, and it's party time. I really believe, though, Gabe, like, it's one of those things, like, you can't screw around, man. Like, I don't want to see, we're like, ooh, game seven back. You know, it's going to be amazing. No. You take care of business when you can. You don't leave a team like the Warriors with the pedigree that they have, give them any hope. You got to end it now, tonight. It's game seven. I'll be very, very worried if it goes to a game seven. Very worried.
I'm already very worried. And
yeah,
you let a team that this good off the hook, man. You're putting yourself in a very, very tough, difficult situation.
So true.
The Warriors have a winning pedigree, a championship pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptor, you know, like I said, we've kind of trolled them quite a bit and nearly escaped, you know, with the Kawhi Leonard, King of the North billboard in Oakland. Drake trash talking them. Now the Raptor fans and the cheering of the Kevin Durant stuff has been like sort of blown up and over exaggerated, and they're going to be doing it for Kevin Durant here tonight and all this crap. So there's so much. There's a lot of emotion. Not to mention, it's the freaking last game ever in this freaking building.
I know.
Of course, it's got to be this, like, history. But hey, what better way, man? If you want to be, the man, you got to beat the man, right? We got to beat him. Yeah, we got to beat him. It's like any championship fight, man, is going to go back and forth. You're going to have to, you know, show resiliency in the same way the St. Louis Blues did last night. Look, the Blues did what the Raptors, have to do. Go in there, keep it close in the first quarter, start to pull away, go on a run that'll just take the building out of the game, and then hang on for dear life. Right? You know, like, they should have been able to do this the other night. They got caught up in it a little bit, I think. They got overly excited. Nick Nurse overthought things. He should have just let roll, man. And, you know, he didn't. It is what it is. But I do think the Raptors have been better in the series. I think they're the better team. And as long as, you know, they don't prevent themselves from winning, they can win this game tonight. But you know this as well as I do. The Raptor players are pretty unpredictable, bro, on the road. We don't know.
They sure are. Yeah, they can go ice cold or be red hot.
Yeah, you don't know. One of them might be hot. Yeah, two of them might be good. Three of them might suck. Like, they're very – the Raptors are a very weird team like that. And they've been very, very – they've been fortunate that in pretty much every game, it's been Kawhi Leonard and somebody. You know, somebody steps up massively. A couple of games ago was Ibaka with that 20 points out of nowhere. It's been Gasol. Kyle Lowry's done it a couple of times. It can't just be Kawhi Leonard. It has to be – everyone has to be involved, but I'm talking like next-level stuff. Like, Kawhi Leonard's going to do his thing. Somebody else on the Raptors tonight has to have a big-ass game tonight. Like, they have to
be one of the dialed in. It has to be one of their bigs. That's the advantage that you still have. That's the thing, right? When I look at Golden State, you could go and go. You got to go inside against those guys a lot. Like, you got to penetrate, commit, get them to suck into some fouls, get angry, get barking, that type of thing. We've seen it, man. Ibaka has a switch where he goes bonkers for a while. If he can maintain that level of play, it'll be a very, very fun evening tonight.
The countdown is on. The tension builds, and yeah, I can't take game seven. Like, I won't be able to handle
Sunday
night. I'm already kind of on edge and getting pissed off right now to begin with. We shouldn't even be freaking playing tonight. You let him off the hook.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're serious about fantasy football, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season, and Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. The NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package only at rotoexperts.com.
Thank you very much, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart.
Got golf
all right.
If you want to, we got good news, Gabe. I really hope you went to, it's early, but Xander Shifley hit an eagle on the final hole. He wasn't even playing that good today. Like, he was actually at plus one at one point. He finished at 5 under. He's tied for the lead with Ricky Fowler. I know he's, we got some interest there. The only guy who's not playing great that we have is Dustin, but you know what the thing is? It's not like he shot 3 or 4 over, even only 5 back. And he's the type of guy, he's like a horse, Gabe. He always is slow out of the gate, but he finishes strong. So we're in contention. Great start by Shifley. 5 under, good start.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned about golf, and I've learned about life.
Don't get excited. And,
yeah, horse racing, et cetera, exactly. You know, opening rounds and opening days and, hell, early in series and everything else in between. Yeah, but listen, we both liked Shoffley a lot. And, man, the guy's put 5 birdies on the board. He's got an eagle. Put up 60 fantasy points already right now. He's 5 under. Very impressive. Very impressive round for Shoffley.
Yeah, Shoffley's playing really, really good. Great start. I'll tell you something, Gabe. I got to go fuel up Mr. Green because I have a lot of pending things. But I'm going to tell you this, and I won't say this very often in my life. Ricky Fowler, this tournament, I think he's almost like I love him. Like for top 10 now, anytime, whatever to win. I'm not sure if he's going to win, but I can definitely see him like second and third. He will be there till the very end of this tournament. I watched him play today. He even missed some short putts.
But second and third's not good enough for him. That's like, you know, the we've already been through this with him, second and third and stuff. That's okay if you bet him top 10 before. Yeah, like I did in the last tournament.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about us. You know what I mean? We still get him like a T6 and get some whatever. You're right. He should be winning these type of tournaments, but he's just one of those guys.
I'm not giving him any, ooh, that's great. Oh, he's going to finish in the top five. I mean, at some point, he's got to win. He's got to win one of these. So what happened to John Rahm? John Rahm was lighting it up earlier.
Yeah, he came back. I think he finished at 3 under. Let me just check. But John Rahm is he's a really interesting guy, but he's volatile. We've talked about it with Dan Daly. John Rahm will make a couple loose swings, and his temper, it's not good for business. Like, when me and you go out there and, you know, we're worm burning and hacking and having some beers and some smokes and, you know, we're hitting it three fairways over, yeah, I'm going to get pissed off. You rage, I rage. He's a professional golfer. He's got to settle down a little bit because it's a marathon, not a sprint. He's just a very, very emotional guy, and you need emotion in golf, but at the right times. The problem with him is it's not a lot of happy. It's more just I want to kill people type of rage. Like, he's got sports rage, Morenci. You and John Rahm should do a golf show together. Because he's raging all the time. Like, he's not a happy camper. He finished at 2 under. He finished at 2 under.
I like to play a round of golf with him. Yeah. Me and Rob. He'd kill me with a club.
He might go.
The hell's taking you so long?
Yeah, exactly.
Ricky Fowler is 5 under. Shuffley, 5 under. Louis Oosthuizen, not a player a lot of people are talking about, 5 under. Scott Piercy, 4 under.
Very Scott Pierce.
Sepp Straka.
Yeah, don't worry about Sepp Straka. He's a Thursday warrior, buddy. I watch golf every weekend. He does this a lot. Lots of good
first and second. Grillo, nice start.
Underrated.
Watch out for Rory. Gary Woodland is also in the mix. So, you know, it's still too early, but seems like there's a few of the usual suspects up here.
Yep, usual suspects. It's funny. Lisa texted me, and she goes, I got a weird feeling about Oosthuizen. I don't know what it is with this chicken golf, Gabe. Like, literally, when we were in Vegas, she got wasted, and she goes, I'm going to go to a sports book and bet golfers. I don't want you to tell me who. She goes and bets Ryan Moore, Charlie Hoffman, and, like, CT Penn, that tournament, second, and, like, eighth. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So, I don't know. And she's got a vibe. I should start listening. She goes, I like Louis for some reason. I'm like, why would you like Louis Oosthuizen? Like, not even in good form or anything. I don't know what it is, man. Just throw the dart. Pew!
Still some big names.
Golf and tennis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cantlay. Cantlay's just on the course, Gabe. An update. Brooks Koepka is on the tee right now. He's teeing off. And Tiger Woods, great pairing. Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods all playing together today, teeing off in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, Webb Simpson, Adam Scott, and Victor Hovland also set to tee off in about two minutes, actually.
I got some bets on Victor, Gabe. I practice what I preach when I gave you Victor for your DFS lineup. I got him in a matchup bet today at like plus 140 against, who is it, some guy, Kinholt or something, some Swede on the European Tour. I believe in Victor Hovland. I think he's actually going to make the cut this week and play
and,
well.
And he's plus 250 to be the top amateur.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Current odds right now. Ricky Fowler is 8-1.
That's a problem.
Rory McIlroy is 8-1. Xander Schauffele is 8-1 as well. Wow.
We got him at 28, so we're not going to do anything there.
Koepka. What about Brooks Koepka? He's at 10-1 right
now. Yeah, he's teeing off. He hasn't played a hole yet. He's literally on the tee-off blocks right now. I'm watching it. Cantlay got a nice up and down from the first hole. He's going to be very dangerous this week. He's 18. Now you get – see, this is interesting. So DJ's 5 shots back, Gabe. Now he's 20-1, not 8-1. That's something I'd look at. Like, I might do what I did with the Blues. Do it the other way. A little more, Gabe? Do I push in a few more chips? We'll see.
Dustin Johnson's now 22-1 at FanDuel.
Wow, 22! You're getting even 2 points of extra value? I love it. He's only 5 shots back with 3 rounds to go, Gabe.
It's 5 shots back, and, like, a bunch of players haven't even teed off yet. We can't be given the tournament to anyone. I'm seeing people online blow up all the time with this stuff. Like, I saw the All Hail John Rahm train earlier today.
Yeah,
guys, it's the first couple of holes of a 4-day tournament.
Exactly. No, but I'm saying this about Dustin Johnson. My argument's different.
Oh, no, he's in this.
You're getting him at 8-1 at the start of the tournament. He's only 5 shots back with 3 rounds of golf to go, and he's 22-1 now. that tells me I'm in again. Put it in, Gabe. I'm telling you, he'll be there. That's a good price.
Yeah, I didn't get my Shoffley bet in. So I need the odds to go back down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for other golfers and Shoffley to balloon back up. He won't stay at 8-1. And, you know, this stuff's gonna bounce around.
Yeah, it will, because guys are still playing right now, you know. And say Brooks Koepka goes low and shoots 8-under today, which he can do. Yeah, that'll inflate everybody else's odds, and people are gonna smash him regardless due to how well he plays in the majors, right? Guy's won half the majors he's ever played in. Victor Hovland just smoked an iron right down the fairway, Gabe. I got a good feeling about this kid. He's not intimidated. He's playing with Brooks Koepka too. They're just like handshakes. Let's go, buddy. This kid's the real deal.
Cam's feeling it.
I am.
Cam's feeling it. You know what? My lineup's not bad. We're just getting going. But Shoffley, I can't be doing much better. I got him in my fantasy lineup. I've got Dustin Johnson. He'll start to get it going. Lucas Glover is right now. He's just teed off as well. And we got Adam Scott and Webb Simpson set to tee off, as well as Victor Hovland just teed off too. So we'll keep people up to date with that. Stanley Cup last night, Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues. Massive numbers on television last night for the National Hockey League and for NBC. Yeah. His Game 7 averages total audience delivery of nearly 9 million viewers.
That's great for hockey. Hockey! Yeah, hey, man. Who's knocking hockey? 9 million viewers? Come on now. Imagine it was like Boston and like the Kings or Boston and San Jose, too. That would be even bigger numbers.
The most viewed game under the current NBC deal was the most watched game in the United States since 1994. Most watched NHL game on record since 1994. 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs have been the most watched in 23 years.
Yeah,
up 6% versus 2018.
Hey man,
so I guess hating it doesn't. I got to give him credit. 2019 Stanley Cup final is the most watched final in 4 years, up 11% versus 2018.
Yeah,
and last night was their most streamed NHL game ever. So congratulations to the NHL. Big numbers. Hey, listen, it's a good product, and it was a good series.
It was. It was a good series. It was a good product. I also think it's going to get better. The acquisition of Vegas, and, you know, I think a lot more people on the West Coast are in it. This is good that St. Louis won. Big chunk of people in the Midwest. Chicago already has their market. Boston has their markets, right? Canada, yes. Montreal, Toronto, everywhere. Everyone's got their markets. So this is good. Like, the Vegas thing is helping the league. And I think it's going to continue to grow. Also, in your neck of the woods, Gabe, the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils have the 1 and 2 picks in the draft. That's good for business, too. I think if I was investing right now, I'd put a little in on the NHL. The stock's going up, not down.
Now, I noticed that Sportsnet's not boasting about great numbers for the Stanley Cup final.
No, no.
If their ratings were good, they would have announced them. I imagine they weren't great. I don't know, though. We'll see if we can get the Canadian numbers. But Gary Bettman could give two shits about the Canadian numbers and about Canada. So he's in a good mood that NBC delivered 9 million people. He's already got Rogers $6 billion. He could give if he didn't care who's watching now. Yet, I talked about this a bit this morning. It was about the women's soccer team, and they're celebrating. And I brought it up with you yesterday, too. I said, remember Team Canada was against Latvia. They scored 16 goals. They won 16-0. And they won 16-0. And they couldn't freaking score after for the rest of the series, if you remember.
Oh,
the rest of the tournament. They were hitting post saves like they could not score.
All and goalies would like, stand on their heads against them.
Like, you know, you guys ran it up. You scored 16 goals and gave us the old goal differential crap about it and defense of it after. And same thing. You guys celebrated and stuff. And, you know, you see the same thing with the U.S. Women's team. It just makes everyone hate you and cheer against you even more. It just creates more pressure and animosity down the road, in my opinion. But similar situation with Brad Marchand. Hey, listen, the guy's a great player, Cam. He's a, you know, I think he's an annoying prick. But I do credit him for being a great hockey player. But it's amazing that he made a mistake that basically like an 8-year-old kid makes in Timbits. No, Timmy, not now. Not now, Timmy. Stay on the ice.
No, get back.
Get back, Timmy. Get back. Like, it's like, it honestly, that's like Timbits hockey stuff. Yo, like, no, Brad, stay. No. Like, I don't know if he thought there was a minute left, but it's just amazing to me, and I brought it up this morning, that a guy that is so smart, like, hockey IQ-wise, Cam, he does all the little things right, this guy. Like, for him to S up like this, unbelievable.
It was, man. When I watched it, I thought it was, like, a mistake. I'm like, look at the lane, boom, backhander, here we go. You said it, man. Brain fart, tossed a big time.
That's one of, that was pretty much the game.
It was.
That was the game. There are a couple of turning points, so we'll hit this on the other side. But I was going to say, no one feels sorry for him now, though, because he's a jackass.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, great job, Yang. Thank you. Thanks to the crew in the pit. I know it's been a difficult day with the streaming and internet shortages. We appreciate you guys getting everything up and running. Steve Merrill will join us. Steve can't join us tomorrow, so Steve's going to step in today and join us at about 5:09. Talk a little NASCAR, a little advanced NASCAR with Steve, but we will focus in on the NBA. NBA game this evening. A lot of stuff I want to get to with the NBA here tonight. But as I was talking about as we went to the break, Cam, so, like, you know, even when they won, dude, Brad was ungraceful. Remember when they were with that, what's the kid's name, Boustakis or whatever, you know, the kid with the hair? And normally everyone, no one likes that kid with the hair. Normally people are like, dude, man, what's the deal with your hair? Yet after Marchand treated him like crap that night, he made that kid the victim. Like, you know, he's just not a nice guy. So, you know, when you're a dickhead and you treat the media like crap and you treat your opponents like crap and you're just a jerk to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Then people are gonna laugh at you when you make that mistake. Now, I didn't troll him because I've been complaining about this, about people being dickheads on online and stuff. So I was going to be that guy. I don't have to, Cam, because I know how much that's burning this guy up all summer. He's going to be burning all year. And there's going to be people that are going to chirp him, even back home. Someone's going to drive by on the road. Hey, nice line change. You know, people are going to chirp the rest of his career with this stuff.
Hey, Marsha, nice line change. That's the best. It's nice, not F you, whatever. Hey, I got something to say. Nice line change. You're right, that Kyle kid from Sportsnet, too. I got to hand it to that kid. He was a real professional. I've interviewed guys before, and when a guy dodges you like that, you get a little bit rattled. Like, you know me, McGabe, I kind of like give you the Rodney Dangerfield. I go, ooh, what are we going to do here? That kid was smoother than he was smooth like glass, man. He didn't get rattled. His hair stayed really nice. That kid's got that great quap, too.
That kid, sort of like I said, he always annoyed people. He came out of nowhere. He was young.
Yeah.
People like this young kid with the hair. And everyone, like, that sort of gave him some credibility. People were like, oh, yeah, he's all right, that kid. He handled himself good at the time, you know? Yeah, nobody likes people with hair like that.
Oh, no. Real creepy.
Nice dude. Nice hair, though. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, I know. It's weird to see a kid with a lid like that. Usually, real cream is used for seniors. But anyway, we'll show you about this guy. Great hairdo. Elimination game of the NBA tonight. It's all over for Oracle 2 in Oaktown. Going to be historic game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. A few hours away. Toronto Raptors, Golden State tip-off just after 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Betting line, Warriors down to 2.5. Minus 145 on the money line. Raptors plus 2.5, 125 on the money line there, and we got a total of 212. First quarter, Warriors -1, -140 money line. Raptors +120. Total set at 53. First half, Warriors -1.5, -145 on the money line. Updated series price down. Toronto -320. Golden State +260. Courtside seats for the final game at Oracle selling for a record $69,000 each, a new NBA per seat record. An anonymous buyer dished out $138,000 for a pair of courtside seats for tonight's game. Mark Davis, the crew chief tonight. Raptors 9-0 in his games. The Warriors 3-5. Kemba Walker liking it in Charlotte a lot. Despite the team struggling to contend, Walker says he wants to make a return to the Hornets as top priority this offseason. And perhaps more surprising is the revelation that he could be persuaded to leave money on the table. He says he would take less than the Supermax contract. Walker, a great season. 25.6 points, 5.9 assists, and 4.4 rebounds a game in 2018-19. Hornets, though, still missing the playoffs. Memphis Grizzlies center Jonas Valanciunas will not exercise his $17.6 million option for next year, but he intends to negotiate a new deal with the Grizz after coming over from the Raptors. He was fantastic in Memphis, 27.7 minutes of play, 20 points a game on average, 10.7 boards, 1.9 blocks in 19 appearances. Stanley Cup parade this Saturday in St. Louis, also a rally after the party at the Gateway Arch for the Blues winning their first ever franchise Stanley Cup. Golf's major. It's underway right now, the third of four majors, round one of the U.S. Open from Pebble Beach. We have a three-way tie for the lead now. Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, and Louis Oosthuizen all lead at 5-under par. Rory, a good round today, 3-under, 2 back. DJ in the clubhouse as well. He is 5 off the pace at even par. Tiger Woods, he goes off in about 7 minutes' time, playing alongside Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose. Power threesome there. In the NFL, officials will continue to initiate pass interference calls inside the 2 minutes, but now all Hail Mary plays will be reviewable by the league. The league deciding to change its replay system after the controversial no-call in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game last year. More bad news for the Cleveland Browns. This one just in. Several veterans pissed at quarterback Baker Mayfield's comments regarding disgruntled running back Duke Johnson. The second-year quarterback publicly chastised Johnson, you know, saying he didn't want to be a part of the team. You're with us or without us. And the rest of the veterans on the team, none too impressed. Also, Duke Johnson, the guy just wants playing time here. He's going to be behind Hunt and Nick Chubb there, third on the depth chart. Indianapolis Colts have made Kenny Moore the highest paid slot corner in the league. Moore agreeing to a 4-year extension, $30 million in new money from 2021 to 23, a maximum value north of $36 million. Moore was undrafted, great player. Started 15 games last year, racking up 11 pass defenses, 3 picks, 1.5 sacks, and 77 tackles. Kansas City Chiefs assigned kicker Harrison Butker to a 5-year, $20 million extension. The CFL, Thursday Night Football tonight. Yeah, the regular season kicking off. Our boy Babano going to be going there. The Ticats of Hamilton hosting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Hamilton, the favorites in this one, -3.5 total set at 48.5. First half, Hamilton -2, -140 on the money line. Total in the first half, 24 flat. Let's head to the MLB scoreboard right now. We have one game in progress. It's almost over. Now just final. The Twins beating the Mariners 10-5. It is now a final. And we have the Atlanta Braves. They getting by Pittsburgh 6-5 in that baseball game there. We got Tehran the win, Musgrove the loss, and Jackson saved number 10 for the Braves. Rest of the baseball slate. We have Arizona laying 25 at Washington, 8.5, Greinke and Feedy. Toronto -140 at Baltimore. Stroman versus Yanoa, total 9. Three more at 7-10. Angels and Rays. Rays -150. 9 is your total. Skaggs and Yarborough. St. Louis at the Mets. Mets laying 50 cents, total 7. Flaherty versus DeGrom, Texas at Boston. Red Sox big chalk minus 235 and 8.5. Sampson and Son versus Price. We got 8:05 action. Detroit at KC. Detroit minus 130 in this baseball game. Boyd versus Bailey, 8.5. 8:10, Yankees minus 190 at the White Sox. Hap versus Nova, total 9.5. 8:40, San Diego's at Colorado at Coors Rockies, minus 150. 11.5, Strom and Gray. And at 10:10, we got the Cubs and Dodgers. Dodgers minus 180. Lester versus Kershaw, total 8. Women's Cup of World Soccer, Australia. They took out Brazil. 3-2 is the final in that game. And we got an update in the other game for China. They're playing. It's the final. China over South Africa, 1-0 in that soccer match. I'm Cam Stewart. As Gabe says, level one is done. Stick around. It's hour two of the Red Heat and Rage radio program here on the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network. So stick around, everybody. Hour two with Stewart and Morenci coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, we're into level two of the goal game. Radio has begun after a little bit of a bumpy start. No fault of anybody. We're off and running now. We're into level two here. Countdown is on. We're about 4 hours away from tip-off this evening, the final game ever at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California, as the Golden State Warriors will move to San Francisco following this game. They used to be in San Francisco. They moved to Oakland, whatever. It's on the other side of the bridge. But if you think tickets are expensive now, and you think the fat cats and the tech types have already taken over the arena, just wait till they go to San Francisco. Raptors try to avoid a game seven, and the Raptors try to avoid to become only the second team in NBA history to blow a 3-1 lead as, of course, the Golden State Warriors are the team to do it. There's been a lot of talk over the last 24 hours of the Warriors' new logo as they move across the bay. I don't know, man. It's like meet the new boss, same as the old boss, the logo. Pretty much the exact freaking same as the last logo. I really don't know the difference.
Ooh, nice logo.
They say no, the bridge is like a better bridge. It's more
whatever. They used to have a horrible logo. Remember when I saw the Warriors play the Vancouver Grizzlies when I was out living with my brother? Remember the old just G? Like, it was so bad, man. That could have been the worst basketball game I've ever seen. They were actually two of the worst teams in the league back then. A guy just gave me tickets, Gabe. He's like, go to the game. Like, I don't even want to, like, it's just coffee money. Like, it was crazy. They were horrible.
I once was about to buy a ticket for $6 on the street off a scalper for an L.A. Clipper San Antonio Spurs game. Yeah, $6. And some dude came up to me and he goes, save your $6. And he gave me a courtside seat.
Exactly.
I swear. Gave me a courtside seat. And I got to the seat and a guy was there. And I thought to myself, oh, I don't really know. Do I have to talk to the guy now? Like, how do I, you know? So I said, hey, thank you so much for the ticket. He just looked at me and nodded his head. And I was like, all right, good. He doesn't want me to talk to him either. So he didn't talk to me once, like, the whole night. I sort of moved because it was a lot of empty seats. I moved down a little bit. And of course, in my luck, Cam, just as we were talking about, it was the Admiral David Robinson's rookie year. So, of course, I bet on the Spurs. And David Robinson fouled out of the game in the first half, and the Clippers won, like, one of their, like, only 20 games that they won all year.
If you would bet the opposite of what you do when you want to go to games, you'd be rich.
Wood Barrel coming up. We the North. Game time.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
action. Ready for Rage Radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Great story last night with the St. Louis Blues winning was the cancer patient, Layla, the young girl that was surprised, and they flew her in for game seven. She got to go on the ice after and hoist the Stanley Cup. Nice story there, Cam. Hard not to to get choked up when you see that.
No, it was awesome. She's been like a part of that Blues team for a long time, really hardcore fan, and nothing but class, inviting on the ice, getting to touch the trophy. Fantastic stuff, Gabe. Really good for the Midwest, too, you know. Usually Chicago, the team that's had the Cups. It's really nice to see St. Louis in that area, known for the Cardinals, to get their first Stanley Cup, and the fan base was fantastic, and what a ride it was. And, hey, our buddy got paid. He wrote out the $100,000. He didn't hedge. He was actually ripping people in the articles. Yeah, people on the internet were calling me a stooge and a moron. But you know what? Hey, who's laughing now? He wrote it out, Gabe. Got his $100,000, $400 bet, 250-1. Good for him.
Steve Merrill joins us. Steve, thanks for joining us. ProSportsInfo.com. Also over at CoversExperts.com. Steve, so the guy bet that 400-1. 400-1.
400-1.
$400 on 250-1 for $100,000 on the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup, and he did it purely as a fan. There was no reasoning behind it. It's a great story. He's from St. Louis. He's a big Cardinal and Blues fan. Not a pro sport bettor, like pretending to be anything like that. He was working at a convention in Las Vegas. The company he worked for went to Las Vegas. And I guess they go to Vegas routinely. And normally he budgets $500 to gamble with. So he puts aside $500 and he sort of accepts, all right, I'm going to play with $500. I'll hit the tables. The convention, he worked so much, he didn't get a chance to gamble ever. He never got a chance to really hit the tables up. So on the way out, he took his $500 and he put $100 on the Cardinals to win the World Series. And he put $400. That's what I don't get. Like, why didn't he put $400 on the Cardinals and $100 on the Blues? But nevertheless, which would have made more sense. But there's that website now. Great site and app. It's like a pawn shop for sports bettors, Prop Swap. So you're able to sell your ticket to people. And, Steve, there were a lot of bids. People thought he was stupid. He was getting ripped all over the place. When they were down, people were laughing at him. Yet he never wavered, and he wins $100,000.
Yeah, incredible. And yeah, I don't quite get why you'd put $400 either. You're already getting a 250-1 payout. Like even $100 is a fantastic payout. But yeah, apparently just a fan. And if that's the case, how could you hedge, right? I mean, so it's kind of understandable. He's making that bet, not expecting him to win. So why possibly hedge? Yeah, I'd heard worst record in the NHL the first week of January, then they won 11 straight. I wonder when he made that play, at what point during that win streak, because I thought maybe some sharp money was coming in because it was all based on that goalie change and, the hard-nosed defense. But still, you don't see too many last-place teams make a run like that.
And before the series started, he got offered $41,000 for the ticket. He said no. And one thing, too, guys, he did know the story of the guy with the Texas Tech ticket. And he goes, I don't want to end up like him. He said that earlier, but he got offered $41,000 and then the Blues lost. Then before game two, he got offered $28,000. He said no. They won. He got offered $48,000 before game three. He said no, they lost. That's when people started to laugh and be dickheads online. And then at game five, he got offered $38,000. Before game six, he got offered $75,000, and that's when I admitted I would have sold.
He should have, because the odds of winning were
72%. Yeah, I would have been so stressed out.
And the odds of winning, by the way, were 72% at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're going into the game six. They lose that game six, and he got offered $37,900 before the game last night. So at that point, you're like, screw it. I get it. I would have taken a 75, Cam. Because I would, you put $400 in, $75,000, then I just would have bet on the other games. I would have been too stressed. I don't even have $100,000 on this Raptors stuff. I can't imagine having $100,000 going into Game 7 on Sunday. I wouldn't make it, Cam.
And Stephen Gabe, listen to this. That line went up to $1.80 some spots with heavy juice, $1.85. I have the Blues, Gabe. I thought about hedging with Boston. Game 7, their backyard, but the numbers didn't make sense. If that line was like $1.30 or whatever, I would have done it. But because it went so high, I just said, screw it. I'm riding out the Blues. It turned out to be good. But the only reason was because the line was so inflated for Game 7. I can't believe the Bruins went off at $1.80, $1.85. That's crazy.
And Steve,
home ice advantage remains one of the most overrated aspects in all of postseason of any sport. The most overrated.
Yes. You said it, Steve. True.
But can we say the same thing about home court in basketball now in the NBA, or is this just an anomaly, what's going on in the finals here?
Well, I mean, what is it? 81% of game sevens win at home in the NBA. So historically, that has been pretty strong. And the reason being, guys, is that the officials determine a lot more of the basketball game than the hockey game. I mean, granted, a power play is much more important than one or two fouls, but home court in the NBA is worth more than home ice in the NHL regular season and postseason.
I agree.
I think that's the one thing going against the Raptors tonight. But yeah, Toronto's been the better team. Shoot, they were the better team in every game, guys. Even in game five, you look at that disparity from 3-point line, and they still have a 6-7 point lead late in the fourth quarter.
No, they have been. They just weren't able to close it out. So I agree. And, you know, I'd say with baseball too, I think though home court, home ice and everything, home field sort of starts to mean less. In fact, look what New England beat Kansas City. Kansas City had home field advantage in the NFL this year. They beat them controversially, but they beat them. Rams beat the Saints in a conference championship game controversially, but both road teams won. So, you know, we've seen road teams win right now. We talk about, and Steve, I think, you know, I'm not going to deny that. Listen, playing at home is an advantage in the long haul, percentage wise. But when it comes to winning a championship, and I think there's a lot of added pressure playing at home. And look at the St. Louis Blues had an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup on home ice. They got ran out of their own building. They were better on the road. A lot of teams sort of get caught up with the pressure at home for one reason or another.
Yeah, and I think a team like Golden State feeds off of it just because of the way Curry plays.
They are not one of those teams.
You know,
you're right.
Rhythms. Although, with that said, though, Gabe, you know, look, they lost to the Clippers twice at home in the first round. So go figure. And that was with Durant in the lineup. They're definitely not the same Warriors team. And if you don't have Durant for a little bit of game five, they don't probably win. What did he hit? 5 3-pointers and they win by a point. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Golden State win. By the way, the play to make, guys, and it's not available everywhere, but some of the offshores right now, they have Toronto -2.5 for game seven. I would load up on Toronto because if they win tonight, you just get a refund. But if they do lose tonight, you've got the better team at home laying just 2.5, because I wouldn't discount it any just because they lose tonight. I could see them coming a little bit flat after blowing a chance to clinch it at home in game five. And I don't think it's not that they don't want to win on the road, but they would love to win it at home. But I would really like them in that game seven spot if it comes to that.
Oh God.
You can't screw around though, Steve. Like you can't screw around. Like look at Morenci. He's having a heart attack, Steve. Yeah, I got
to
believe.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're not going to try not to win. I'm not saying that at all, but I could see them being a little flat maybe.
I'm not even exaggerating. I'm sick to my stomach.
I love them tonight, Gabe. I'm on the Blues last night as a pooch. I'm on the Raptors money line, this Oracle stuff, building. You know what? This is the story. You lost your final game in your arena. To Steve's point, they've been better in every single aspect, every single game. They brought their B and C game and lost by 1 point the last game. They've won 2 games in their barn already. I'm telling you, Gabe, unless, like, Kawhi, if he does his thing, I see value from the Raptors tonight. Like, I'm getting +130 on the money line. Like, I'll take it. Like, all
Steve,
day.
You're the first person, and to me it seems like it's almost logical that the Warriors would be the play tonight. I think that you could argue they're being disrespected. You're the first happer, first guy we've had on in a couple of days. It's like, doesn't really think the Raptors lock it up tonight. My opinion doesn't mean anything at this time. I'm beaten down. I'm a fan. I'm just worn out. This is just frustrated, and I'm kind of concerned before we come into the game. But we'll hit the referee on the other side with Merrill. Cam Stewart, I am friends. Game time.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Radio continues. Steve Harrell with Sam Stewart. Countdown is on. NBA Finals Game 6, Oracle, 9 o'clock Eastern this evening on ABC and TSN this evening, I believe, in Canada. As far as the referees are concerned, from a Raptor perspective, it couldn't get much better, actually. Mark Davis, Kane Fitzgerald, David Guthrie will be the three officials this evening. Sean Wright is the alternate. And I've actually stated, I think Kane Fitzgerald's probably the best referee in the NBA right now. So congratulations to him for getting the call. Now, Mark Davis is an interesting call. Mark Davis is well-respected by players. They think he's a good referee, but they think that he talks too much and he mouths off at players. Like, he gets into sort of smack talk with players back and forth. And I do remember in a game against the Milwaukee Bucks, the Greek Freak got into it with him. And the Raptors did win that game. The Raptors are 9-0 this year when Mark Davis is officiated. 9-0. The Warriors are 3-5. And the Warriors have had run-ins with Mark Davis in the past. Draymond's had run-ins with them. And I think that it sort of correlates here why the Raptors would be 9-0, Steve and Cam. But I'll start with you, Steve. Mark Davis, and I've been talking about this. We talk a lot about the NBA officials and how they all sort of live up to their reputation. The two worst officiated games in this series was the Scott Foster game and then the Malloy game the other night. And Foster and Malloy are known as the biggest hitmen. Foster hasn't been around, guys, since game two. He's going to rear his ugly head for game 7. If I'm the Raptors, I got to close tonight, man. You got Mark Davis. You got Cam Fitzgerald. You're 3-0 in the playoffs with these guys. All right? You're 9-0. You're 9-0 in the regular season. And I think a big thing is Mark Davis doesn't like people that mouth off. Golden State are a really mouthy team. So Golden State are 3-5 with him because they chirp about everything all the time. And he doesn't care who you are. He mouths off and he takes it and he'll call you up for it. Meanwhile, the Raptors shut up. The Raptors don't pitch besides Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is like the only guy that complains on the Raptors. So I think it's kind of an advantage. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to be Malloy again or it's going to be Scott Foster in game 7, guys. If you're the Raptors, you got to end this tonight. What do you make of the officials, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is, does he get more worked up being at home with Golden State or on the road? Because I definitely think it's a disadvantage for Golden State. You know, if he gets into it with the players, would he feed off the home energy, getting more mad at him, or is he the type of guy that would do it on the road? A guy like Draymond Green, as you said, Gabe, is the first one that comes to mind for me. I've been looking at the props. I'd love to find, you know, will there be a technical foul called in the game? I'd love the yes on that for a reason like that. Plus, it's, you know, a do-or-die game. You could see Kerr maybe picking one up if it got down to crunch time. They were out of it. I think Draymond Green in general, maybe you want to look at some of the unders on his points and stuff because if he ends up in foul trouble, he'll be limited. It's tough, though, to play any Warrior under right now without Kevin Durant out there because you know other guys are going to have to pick it up. Stephon Curry's at 33 points for the over-under. I mean, basically the only way you could play that's the over, even though it's priced in already.
The injury is starting to catch up. So, of course, Kevin Durant's going to be out once again. Kevon Looney's going to be a game-time decision. We'll try to get a little bit more information as far as that's concerned. So Steve, your gut's telling you that this is going 7, huh?
No, I like Toronto. I think they're the better team. It just would not surprise me to see them not play well. That's why I love the game 7 play because you have nothing to lose.
Yeah, me too. I like Toronto. It wouldn't surprise me not to play well. That's the problem.
But if you play them now, that minus 2.5, I think that number's too short. I mean, unless the public and the odds makers drastically overreact to something that happens tonight, you know, if Toronto loses by 20, then maybe the line would be higher. But yeah, I don't see that happening. And I'm with Cam. I think if you play Toronto, you play them on the money line, because first of all, as you said, Gabe, the points has not mattered in any game yet. And the last four, the underdog has won outright the last four games. So I doubt the spread matters again tonight at 2.5.
Steve Merrill with us.
Yep. All money line, Gabe.
Total, Cam.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking about the total. Steve's going to stick around for a while. I don't know if he wants to
dance. Any opinion on the total?
Well, you know, it's funny, guys. The only total I used in this series was the over in game five the other night, and I was feeling pretty good about it when they put up over 60 points in the first quarter, and Durant was 5 for 5 from three-point range. And then the second half just sucked all the life out of that play. I think they had a 44-point third quarter and like a 47-point fourth. So, yeah, I'll probably stay away from the total tonight.
So, Steve, before we get you out here, what's the deal? No NASCAR this week? Are they off again?
Father's Day.
Father's Day, that's right. Yeah, so they do Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? That's they're like NASCAR. Very family-oriented.
It is. Well, unless you're one of the lower-tier series drivers, because the Truck Series is Saturday night and the Xfinity is Sunday afternoon, like 5:30 Eastern. By the way, next week, guys, the Road Course Sonoma, it'll be the last race on Fox until they switch over. So it'll be Darrell Waltrip's last race ever. He's retiring, so there'll be a lot of big stuff going on next week.
All right, we'll check that. I like the Sonoma race. I like to go there, drink a bunch of wine, and watch NASCAR.
Yeah, that's great.
It's in wine country, Cam. It's up in
the hill. Oh, yeah, Sonoma's beautiful. Yeah, no, that's some prime real estate there. You're right. Yeah, instead of drinking Natural Light and Busch, you're drinking wine. It's a high-end race.
High-end, yeah, exactly. I always love
it. Turn
Steve,
left
watch
and
it.
Right.
Yeah, and they go up and down and hills. Right.
That's cool. So it's kind of like a road, like those old school road races a lot more. That's cool.
Yeah,
that they go both directions. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's a road race. They only have two road race courses, Watkins Glen and Sonoma, and they're totally different. They're nothing alike. And they have that Roval now, right, Steve?
That's right. I forgot about that. They didn't have that in Charlotte the other week. So I guess that. Will that be in the chase again, I assume? They had it last year in October.
Yeah, supposed to be.
Trademark, the Roval. You just owe somebody some money right now. Don't sing happy birthday. You'll owe them even more.
Yeah, I know. Mike Cardano, our boss, thought I invented it. He goes, did you just invent the word Roval? I'm like, no. It's like,
I wish.
You wish you did. Hey,
the Roval.
Not only did he not, but the lawyers who did contacted him right after the show.
Correct.
Yeah, the Roval. Yeah, they're off again. I was wondering about that. I saw that there's only odds for the 250 race. You're right.
I don't feel like they're normally off on Father's Day, by the way. I think
they do.
Well, maybe they are. I feel like they're not off in June like this normally, but maybe I'm
they used
I'm
to do. It used to be Easter and Mother's Day only.
They had that Saturday race, remember, on one of those, which they normally didn't.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're off this week. That's exactly
so
what
why
it
don't
is.
They race on they Saturday a, on yeah. Father's Day? Like, what's more
on Mother's
important,
Day.
Easter or Father's Day?
No, I think it was Mother's Day Saturday they raced back in May.
Oh, that's
at Kansas.
Right. That's right.
So that's exactly why, Gabe, which I like. I like the week off a little bit later here in the year than in May, so it worked out.
But
Easter was extremely late this year. That's why. It was a very late Easter.
Wouldn't it make more sense on Father's Day that you'd want to go to the race with your father or watch the race with your father?
Or at least do it on a different – do it on the – if Father's Day is officially Sunday, do it on the Saturday. So you can have like Father's Day weekend type of thing, right? Like, I'm with you, Gabe. That's a good call. You want to go to the race with your dad, right? If he's a racing fan. Excellent point.
It's an excuse. I'd like to mow the lawn, but I'm going to the NASCAR race with the kid.
Exactly.
I think what Easter was about as late as it could be, though. Easter was like April 21st, and then Mother's Day was like May 9th. So they didn't want to have two off weeks like within 4 weeks is my guess. But, yeah, otherwise it wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah, Steve Merrill, so no NASCAR. I haven't looked into baseball. I'm all about the basketball tonight. Have you looked into baseball, Steve?
Yeah, not too much jumps out. I mean, this is the dog days of summer. Obviously, if the series ends tonight, we'll have nothing but baseball for what, about, I guess, a little less than 2 months. When's the NFL preseason? Early August, probably. And got the wind totals out there right now.
CFL tonight, but I do have an update. We have tornado warnings outside of Hamilton, Gabe. This game is actually borderline right now. Funnel clouds. Uh-oh.
Wow.
Never end.
It never ends. Every time you come at rain, like every Raptor game, Steve, it's like a torrential downpour. We had a lightning storm where the power went out like earlier. Like a game comes down, it's pissing rain. Like we have not had a sunny Raptors day or whatever, and now a tornado. Like it never ends, Morenci. It's like bad
luck.
Fact.
that whole Jurassic Park stuff.
Yeah, they got to do it soft. Yeah. They got to let them in the arena.
Yeah, I don't know if they were. They actually said they were going to announce it at 5 o'clock. We'll look into that. About they were going to tell people to watch the game in the arena, actually. Let's see. We'll get an update on that.
By the way, did you see the St. Louis fans not only filled the arena, but they filled Busch Stadium as well last night? That was
pretty
impressive.
And it was pissing rain, Steve. You see that?
It was. It was raining, I believe. Yeah, it was.
That looked awesome. No, that was a good party. No, Blues fans deserve it, man. They've been through – they've had heartbreaking losses, like in the history of that team, so close. It's actually nice that, they got it done. Boston wins all the time, so happy for them.
Only the Capitals could have this happen. They beat an expansion first-year team for their first cup title, which kind of takes a little bit of it away. And then the very next year, a team with a longer drought than the Capitals wins it. I mean, only Washington could time it like that.
You got your cup.
Yeah, cups a win. You know what, Steve, I don't care if it's against Vegas. A cup's a cup. Look at the Leafs. They blow, right? At least you got a cup. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, guys, I mean, after that game 7 loss to Carolina, in which they dominated the first three periods, you got to figure the Caps probably won another cup this year, because I think they were probably better than Boston in the 7-game series. And it really was a cakewalk for everybody after that. I mean, Boston swept Carolina right after that. The Caps really let one get away this year, as they have
problem
in the past.
Is,
I guess that's nothing new.
Yeah, no, look, and we'll see that the Capitals – look, man, Ovechkin partied harder than anybody had ever partied after winning a championship in any sport. The guy went on a 3-month bender. They had it was sort of up and down. One thing that was weird, Steve, they won the Stanley Cup, but they cheaped out and they didn't pay the coach to come back. And Barry Trotz is such a good coach, he turned the New York Islanders into a dominant team. And, you know, so it was the Stanley Cup hangover, the booze hangover. And a new coach. I wonder if Ovi has another run in him. Probably does, but he might be satisfied. You know, just getting that. He's had a hell of a career. He's a champion. You can't take it away from him. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, covers experts. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Game time decisions. Ready to make radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Our radio. I'm Morenci. Throwing down to Rich Rennick. A countdown to NBA Finals Game 6 is on. A little past 9 o'clock here this evening. There's bad weather once again in Toronto right now. I just checked and I don't see any update. It said that they gave wristbands to people that were waiting in line to get into Jurassic Park. And now they're telling them, they're going to tell them it's 6 o'clock, whether they can stay outside or whether they're going to come into the arena or not. You know, at this point, just, you know, I get it. Just open up the doors to the arena, Cam. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, there's enough. I'm surprised they haven't already, to be honest with you. They would actually sell it out and fill it up. Like, it would be packed if they just put the game on inside.
That's what they should do. You know what I mean? It's also easier. Like, it's one of those things. Like, Jurassic Park's cool, but I got to tell you, Gabe, I think just doing it in the arena makes so much more sense just for the cops and everybody else too, right? You know what I mean? Everything's contained in there too. Like, St. Louis did it in their building. Then they had it at Busch Stadium or whatever, and you still have the party outside. But I got to tell you, man, like, I think it's a great idea. And yeah, there's like threats of lightning and all this other stuff. Yeah, just let them in. Let them enjoy it in the arena. I think that's a way
Plus,
better plan.
Money to be
I'm
made.
With you. Exactly. Concessions, like, you could turn this into a real cash grab.
That Jurassic Park, that little Jurassic Park thing, it only holds like 1,400 people. Like, the actual in front of the stage and right there, there's a fence, and they really funnel it off. It's like a maze in there. Now, everyone else on the street is behind Jurassic Park. It's all called Jurassic Park per se, but not everybody has a great view. And they actually only sell beer in that enclosed area. So people would actually prefer to go inside. You'd get 20,000 sure. people in there, and then you have the lingers watch outside after the fact. Me personally, I would rather watch it in the arena than outside on
I
the
would
screen.
Too.
It's a hell of a lot more sense, but you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, Cam. And it's been hell of a ride. It feels like it was like 2 years ago, man, that they played against the Orlando Magic and they lost game one of the playoffs.
Oh, I know.
And here we are right now. It's frustrating that we didn't close it out on Monday, but at the same point in time, I'm going to use the old cliche, and Craig Berube, brought this up yesterday before the game, and when asked about, you know, it's disappointing you didn't wrap it up on home ice. How do you feel about going into game seven? He gave the cliche. If you would have told me 3 months ago that I'd be in game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals, I would have taken it.
Yes.
And same thing as the Raptors, right? Yeah, we have to forget about Monday. And basically, you would have told me, listen, Morenci, the Raptors are going to be up 3-2 in the NBA Finals, man. You know, you take it. If, you know, if we're really the champions, we can win tonight. You know, I'm not saying we can't win game seven, but I will not be able to handle this. Like, it's just going to be too freaking much, man. Like, going into Sunday, Cam. Like, just, I'm already on edge right now. I've been frustrated all week about this. I've been talking about this for like a week and a half, 2 weeks now, actually. I just want this to be over. It's just too exhausting, man. It's like a World Cup that never ends. And it's like I said the other day, man, we had them up. We were up by six. I thought we were going to win a championship for real. It was going to be off the hook. It would have been one of the best nights ever. And it's like we robbed the bank successfully, Cam. But, you know, we forgot. We forgot, like, you know, we forgot a bag with tools that we use with our fingerprints all over them. And now yeah. we got to break back in. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we already did it, guys. We just did this. I feel like Milhouse. We did it. It took 8 hours, but we did it. It's done. Yeah, you know, like that's how I feel now. It's like, man, we've already done this, guys. Like, really? Like, we're running out of racetrack here. All right? You screw up again tonight, and then suddenly it's a freaking toss-up against arguably the greatest exactly. team in the history of the NBA. All right? Like, you guys put yourself in this position. Get yourself out of it tonight. I can't lie to you. I'm not feeling great about this, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
whatever going to happen,
well,
going to happen. It doesn't matter how I feel.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you something. How did you feel on Monday? That didn't work out. Maybe you should feel like shit because it's going to be the opposite. Another thing is, with Toronto, it'll shake off a curse. So many other things are happening. Gabe, they had a 6-point lead in that game. They played like junk that game. That was like, they didn't play well at all, and they still, at the end of the game, before Klay Thompson hit shots, these guys go off and they lose.
By
one damn point. Like, I don't know what everyone's like. The way I see it is, if they play their game and don't get rattled, I think they can go in there and win this game by almost double digits. That's what I feel about it. I'm not saying this as a fan. I'm saying this as a realist. I think they win the game between, like, 7 and 11 points tonight. Like, I think they get it done. So, you know, give me the Raptors with the points and the money line. I think it's a good spot. They played horribly and still almost won. If they play a good game tonight, they're a better, deeper team than Golden State. The difference is Curry can go off at any time and Klay can't. You contain those guys and just let them human. Let the other guys beat you. Let the other guys on the team beat you. I'm telling you, I feel very – I'm not saying confident, but, you know, I have a different feeling
like
about it.
It
tonight.
All right, I like where you're going with this. There's no reason they can't win. They just don't choke, man. Pretty simple. Like, just go out there and freaking do it. You have the best player on the court, Kawhi Leonard. I still, for the love of God, I don't know, why the hell would you call a timeout when Kawhi Leonard scored 10 points
exactly.
in a row?
Exactly.
It's just like, are you kidding me, man? Are you freaking kidding me? All right, Yang. As I've stated in the past, listen, Yang pitched a shutout yesterday. Great job, and great job today. But we're going to need, like, you know, you're going to need some sort of bell or, like, you know, some sort of alert.
Like,
Yeah. Because me and Cam have a very, very difficult time contacting Yang. Like, it's like the only time we can get his attention is on the air, actually. We have a communication system that's clearly broken down.
Yeah,
but
buddy.
that Yeah. That's going to be part of the summer purge.
Yeah.
I'll pay a little more attention to the email, buddy. I was over there editing the last hour. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, do we even, like, use this Gmail chat anymore?
Yeah. I got your stuff all set, ready to go, buddy.
All right. So, also check the system here. There's a new song that we started playing this morning. It's a new hit starring Bob from Vermont. Do you have that? Do you see that poking around?
No, I didn't see that. I wasn't even informed of that until now. You just said it.
I love Bob. I love Bob in Vermont, but he only calls when the Bruins wins. You notice when St. Louis wins, I see tumbleweed. How about congratulations to us?
He faced the music.
Oh, he did. Good.
Yeah, he faced the music. He called the morning show.
Nice.
He called the morning show. But, yeah, we need I'm a little on edge and stuff. I think Bob's song from this morning can ease the mood a little bit here. And they actually forwarded to me an email. But, like I said, we have a mass communication issue here between us and other shows. And
Well, if you have an email, you could email it to me on the FNTSY producer email. I'll be able to get it. I'll get it.
All right.
Victor Hovland's one under, Gabe. Sorry, he's two under. T9. Good start. I got this. What was he at top 20? Like 23-1? God.
All right, here it is. Yeah, I'm going to forward this to you now, Yang.
All right, buddy.
Play the Hey song.
Just waiting for it to come, that's all.
Hey.
It'll be on the way. And when we go to a break in a minute, we'll play the new Maestro Fresh West. Maestro Fresh West kicked out a new song called Jurassic Park, actually.
Yep.
And it's not one of these cheesy sports songs. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and Pete sent us another one with our boy there too, Gabe.
Yeah, Louis Rankin.
New Louis. So we got a montage here. It's like
we got a lot of
wedding.
Stuff.
We'll just keep it going. Yeah. All the hits.
Yeah, it's like a Polish wedding. The toilet seat was up and down all night.
You could say that about a Scottish wedding too.
That's a Steve Ludzig line.
I love how it's true. Like Polish people and Scottish people. Like, how many times am I going to hear the expression "scot free"? Like, there's other people that are tight too, you know. But anyway, you're right. The toilet seat at a Polish wedding, very similar to the Scottish toilet seat as well, up and down. The Poles and Scots actually have a lot in common when it comes to drinking.
Well, they're both drunk all the time.
Excellent point, Gabe. Yeah, that's.
I'd say that's about all they have in common.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like you said, we're keeping Yang busy today. We got a lot of video. A lot of audio videos.
He answers you. Like, you've heard me today. He hasn't answered me once. Like, you get through to him eventually because he knows you're the captain of the team and I'm the assistant captain, and he talks to you a lot more. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. I'm talking.
I love you guys both the same, man. Like, you know, I like I like Cam more than I do like Gabe, because Gabe, like, you know, he types the big cap letters and, you know, he gets on my nerve and makes me sweat and perspire, makes my hands clammy.
He makes my hands clammy too.
Yeah, I've sent a couple of messages already today, Cam. Like a couple of cap. Yo, what's going on?
Yeah, he has some issues. I even tried to forward it to myself, but
he's sending all caps now, Clam Chowder style. Nice.
He even spelled especially wrong. He spelled it especially. I was like, he's pissed off.
Yeah. We're not worried about spelling. I'm just trying to get the point across. Just trying to get the point across here. All right, so we're lighting this stuff up. We'll play the Bob on the other side, and we'll get to Louis Rankin on the other side. I'm going to have to check Louis, because Louis does drop some F-bombs sometimes here.
Yeah.
We'll get to Louis a little bit later on. But we're going to a break in a minute, so why don't you just take us out now. Play the Jurassic Park, Maestro Fresh West. This will get us hyped up for the game here tonight. New Maestro Fresh West featuring Rich Kid.
Kill rapping with a rhythm, when I kill him with a scene. Toronto man, you know me, and I'm body anybody. When I rap for the team, beat the ballers to the block. The killers with a shot, the meanest buzzer beater when I rip with a rock. Tell him what he had. What he had, what he had. Look. Any man who wanna come true, better know he better suckle with him out. Any man who wanna come true for a quarter game, you know he run him out.
This should be like their player intro.
Yeah.
Fired up.
Tell him what he had. What he had. You jump up. You jump up. Yeah. You jump up. You jump up. You jump up. When his team too tough, all I know is if a man don't come true, any team get tough. See my rap tones great, make your backbone shake. Keep the half court fake, watch your back doors break.
Let's see, Pfizer Press, Wes still has it.
He sure does. He's got a warm head
now. Yo, Yang, you're into hip-hop and rap. What do you think, Nick?
It's pretty good, man, but I think I'm a little better. Please do not panic.
You jump up. Yeah. You jump up. You jump up. You jump up.
Game time decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, show is flying by here. Game time decision. Ready to Rage Radio. I am Morenci. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Cam Stewart throwing it down. So the countdown is on. We're now moving into three-hour territory leading into the NBA Finals of this evening, the final game ever played at Oracle Arena this evening. What I find interesting, Cam, is all day long the number has stayed at 2.5.
I agree. It's crazy.
But the money line has been bouncing around. That's what I find interesting, that it hasn't moved from the 2.5, but earlier in the day, the Raptors were like plus 124. It went down to plus 118 and then down to plus 116, even though the number didn't move from the 2.5. Now it's gone back up to the plus 124.
25.
Warriors are minus 148. Over under now 211.5 at FanDuel. Warriors 2.5, 148. Raptors 2.5, plus 124. Total 211.5. A little bit of value here if you do think that Golden State are going to come back and win the series. They're paying plus 260 right now. Stephon Curry would be the most valuable player for the Golden State Warriors if they win, but he's plus 240 right now, so you actually get 20 cents more if you do like the Warriors. We played Kawhi Leonard at plus 245 to be the most valuable player before the series started. Right now, he is currently minus 323 to be the most valuable player. Minus 323. And, Cam, I can't lie. My pockets are a little light right now after the trips and everything else in between. Money. It'd be nice to win this and win this tonight so I can go cash these tickets tomorrow.
I agree 100%. That's the thing. Sometimes the futures market takes a little bit of patience, but you'll be happy if they do cash. You walk up there, put the ticket in, and get a wad full of money. It's the way to play it. Sometimes, you know, you can play games on an individual basis, but look what's happened, Gabe, with the Blues and all the stuff.
Great job.
Our portfolios have been very, very, hey, we're getting older in life. You got to get smarter, right? Like, it's one of those things. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have bad days. We're going to get drunk. You're going to make some bad bets. But certain things, like especially in big-time series, finals, the numbers are manipulated. So you can find good opportunities when teams are down by one game only.
Here's our new hit featuring Bob from Vermont.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Let's get you going.